Hi everyone, this is Rav Yossi Golden. Here is this week's parenting from the Chag for Chag Sukkot, entitled The Foundation of Love. As we transition from Yom Kippur to Sukkot, from the intensity of the Yamim Noraim to the excitement of Sukkot, we must consider a fundamental question. What exactly is Sukkot doing here at this time of the year? This question is famously raised by the Tur. He points out that the Chag of Sukkot commemorates two experiences that Am Yisrael encountered in the desert following their exodus from Egypt. One, the clouds of glory that surrounded them as they traveled through the desert, and two, the actual huts that the nation lived in while they were in the desert. Both of these experiences occurred, or at least began, after the Jews left Egypt, soon after the Chag of Pesach. So wouldn't it be more appropriate to celebrate Sukkot right after Pesach? Why instead celebrate Sukkot many months later during the month of Tishrei, which itself already has many other Chagim associated with it? Many answers are offered to this question. One type of answer offered is that the Torah specifically wanted Sukkot to take place right after the Yamim Noraim because of the significance in juxtaposing Sukkot to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What might be the significance? Perhaps we can make the following suggestion. The Yamim Noraim represent a type of personal renewal. Through the intensive process of tshuva, self-reflection, and atonement, we each strive to undergo a spiritual transformation over the course of the Aseret Yimei Tshuva. This process climaxes with Yom Kippur, as a combination of the day itself, our sincere repentance, and our elevated spirituality helps us achieve a purification and spiritual cleansing not possible to achieve at any other point of the year. On some level, on Motzei Yom Kippur, we are spiritually reborn, a new being whose slate has been wiped clean and is beginning again. But where do we go from there? From there, the Torah directs us to enter into the Chag of Sukkot. It is striking to note that the 5 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot is the smallest amount of time between two Chagim at any point during the year, almost as if the Torah is guiding us from Yom Kippur directly into Sukkot. What does Sukkot represent, and why is it the appropriate continuation of the Yom Kippur experience? I have long felt that at its core, the Sukkah itself symbolizes a loving embrace of God. We mentioned above that the Sukkah commemorates the clouds of glory that accompanied the fledgling nation in the desert, protecting them from all forms of dangers and threats. As the young nation wandered the perilous unknown, God, as it were, lovingly embraced them, guarding them from all sides to ensure their safety and security. When we sit in the Sukkah each year to commemorate that protection, we are meant to feel that embrace as well in our own lives, to remember that ultimately our lives are dependent upon Hashem alone and that His love for us is the basis of all that we have and are able to accomplish. Along the same lines, the Bnei Yisachar and others suggest that when we sit in the Sukkah, we are sitting in the shadow of Hashem. In the Sukkah, we are meant to feel enveloped and surrounded by the love and warmth of God and to bask in that warmth. Interestingly enough, a person fulfills the mitzvah of Sukkah simply by being there. He's not obligated to do any specific action when in the Sukkah. Just being in the Sukkah itself is the mitzvah, as we cherish being surrounded by God's love and protection. With this in mind, we can now understand why Sukkot immediately follows Yom Kippur. As we emerge from the Aseret Yimei Tshuva, spiritually recharged, a new person reborn, we begin to once again encounter the world in front of us. Yet before we confront that world head on, we go through a period of incubation. We spend 7 days in our Sukkah basking in the loving embrace of God. We celebrate our relationship with Him and the opportunities that such a relationship affords us. Once that foundation of love has been ensconced in our relationship with Hashem, it becomes the framework through which we experience and relate to God throughout the rest of the year as well. With that foundation and framework in place, we are now ready to confront the world and all that it entails head on. Perhaps our most important job as parents is to give our children a foundation of love in their lives. From the day they are born and throughout their entire lives, our children need to feel that no matter what happens in the world around them, their parents love them profoundly and care for them deeply. Rav Volbi, in his Sefer Zriya Ubinyan B'chinuch, quotes a fascinating finding by a famous biologist who compared the capabilities of human babies to babies in the animal kingdom. Notably, animal babies have much greater abilities after birth than human babies do. Many of them begin to walk shortly after birth and even become relatively independent very quickly. In contrast, human babies do very little for the first 9 to 12 months. It is only around 1 year that a human baby has the same capabilities of most animals at birth. Based on this observation, this biologist posited that in reality, human babies should need another 9 months of incubation in the mother's womb, but that in place of that, each human baby goes through a second incubation period, this time outside the mother's womb. Following a child's birth, the baby lives and exists within the quote-unquote cradle of the home, surrounded by the love and warmth of its parents and family. It is during these initial months, as the infant lives within the loving embrace of his parents, that a deep foundation of love and belonging is instilled within the child. And it is this love that will set the framework for the rest of the child's life. As Rav Volbi states, every child needs to feel the warmth of the home. And warmth means love. Lots of love. A child must grow up specifically within the context of love. End quote. In the world of psychology, a popular theory on relationships is attachment theory, developed initially by Bowlesby and Ainsworth, which suggests that all humans have a natural need for attachment and connectedness, an emotional bond with another human being. Some theorists take it a step further and posit that based on the relationship that a baby has with his primary caregivers, he develops certain styles of attachment, and those attachment styles tend to impact the cognitive and emotional development of the child and his ability to develop connections throughout his life. When a healthy sense of attachment is properly attained as an infant, that can lay the groundwork for a healthy sense of self and connection to others as they get older. While the initial sense of love is developed during the early stages of an infant's development, that initial love must set the foundation and initial framework for a loving parent-child relationship that must continue to exist at all ages. The home must be a place of profound comfort and warmth that the child feels each time he walks into the house, even if only subconsciously. Each time we speak to or interact with our kids, the undertones of that encounter must be the never-ending affection that we have for them. While our relationship with our kids will differ dramatically depending on the age, some ages creating more challenges than others, our overarching goal must be to make sure that our love for our kids is always the basis of that relationship and that our kids sense that deeply. There can be moments of great disagreement and perhaps intense friction, but if love is the basis for that relationship, hopefully those moments of friction can ultimately be overcome. In addition, if we are successful at making the home environment one of unconditioned and unending love, then we provide our kids with a base from which to tackle the challenges of a scary and sometimes unkind world around them. No matter what happens to them outside the home, they always know that they have a place of warmth and acceptance to come back to. I have heard on many occasions from Dr. David Pelkovitz that the two most important ingredients to parenting are love and limits, the two L's. Giving our children a foundation of love while also expressing our care for them and setting rules and limits for what we expect of them. Thankfully, most parents don't need to be told to love their children. That feeling comes naturally. However, the challenge is in making sure to convey that love to our children in a deep and real way. We should make sure to verbally express our love for them consistently and often. One can never say, "I love you," too often to a child. Even when our verbal expressions of love are met with a face by our teenagers, that love nevertheless penetrates deep down. And of course, words alone are not enough. We need to show our children through our actions how much we care about them and adore them. Children of all ages are very astute and clever. They can easily tell the difference between fake love and real love. If we put real time and effort into conveying our genuine love, for our children at all stages of life, then they will sense it and feel it profoundly. The story is told about the Baal Shem Tov that a father came to him to ask for guidance about dealing with his son who was no longer Torah observant. Distraught, the father asked the Baal Shem Tov how he should deal with his son, to which the Baal Shem Tov replied, the best way for you to deal with your son is to love him even more. The proximity of Sukkot to Yom Kippur is by specific design. As we exit the Lofti Yamim Noraim, a new person, reborn free of sin, we immediately enter our Sukkah, which acts as an incubator in showering us with the love and warmth of God, laying the foundation for our ability to re-enter the world and confront it head-on. As parents as well, we must ensure that the basis for our relationship with our kids is one of deep love and affection through both verbal and nonverbal cues on a consistent basis. It is that love that, come what may, will lay the groundwork for a deep and meaningful relationship with our children throughout their lives. Thank you very much for listening and wishing you a Shabbat Shalom and a Chag Sameach.